Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Welcome to Cold Spring Presbyterian Church this afternoon as we celebrate the life of Bobby Rhodes. Each of you are here for a reason, because Bobby touched your life. You had intersections of various kinds over many years. We celebrate his life because God has invited us to honor and respect every person. And I know from speaking and getting to know members of this family that this is a huge loss. This is a time to grieve, a time to mourn and to remember and to reflect. And as one of you said, also we know, of course, passing is just part of arriving. Out in our cemetery of almost 200 acres, there are lots of stories represented beneath the tombstones. And on most of the stones, some of which are illegible because they are so old, they've been worn by time. But on almost every single tombstone, you'll find two dates. What are they? The birth date and the what? And the death date. One of the tombstones just outside the door has it counted down to days. So many years, so many months, so many days. We are here today to celebrate what came between Bobby's birth date in 1949 and his passing in 2019. You represent the stories contained in those years. And your job today is to retell those stories so that people can honor Bobby's life and be inspired to live their very best life too. My name is Kevin Yoho. I'm the transformation pastor at Cold Spring Church, a congregation that has served this community for 305 years. Jesus said his yoke is available to you. When is the last time you saw a yoke? Well, I know there's some farmers in our midst, and I bet farmers know what yokes were, but if you can imagine 300 years ago, right around here, there were many, many farms, and it was common to see a yoke, a large wooden bar across the back of two oxen, or two horse, two donkeys. And this large wooden bar in Jesus' day was custom made for each animal, so that if the ox on one side had a slight bump on a back or on a neck, that side, the farmer lovingly carved to fit that particular ox, and the ox who stood next to that one, that side of that yoke, that wooden bar, was custom made so that it fit perfectly on the back of each oxen. Jesus says he has such a yoke for you. It's custom made. One side fits him perfectly. The other side, for you. Whatever you need today, you can be confident that Jesus says that yoke is available for you. Whatever you need, Jesus says, "I am here for you." Let us pray. Lord, we gather as a family, as a community, celebrating Bobby's life. We ask that you would comfort, offer hope and peace as we celebrate a life. Just take a deep breath right where you are. Let's recognize God's spirit in our midst, the love of family and friends. Lord, we thank you for family and for friends and for your love for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be guided in our celebration today in the worship bulletin. If you don't have one, there are several others in the back in the narthex. We'll just proceed, and those who are offering their gifts of music and words can just come up at the appointed time. Let us celebrate because Jesus rose again from the dead.
I've been saying for a few days now, a week now, that Bobby was a breath of fresh air. Didn't matter where you were, who you were with, if Bobby was there, you're going to have a good time. Uncle Eddie on Kauai would say he's always welcome at our fire. So fair winds, calm seas, Captain, love and aloha. The two songs that we're going to do are significant because one of them was the last song that we were working on together. Bobby was playing the piano. It was our goal to play it eventually. And the other song that we're going to do is the last song that was playing as he passed. It was the last song that Bobby heard. So these are for you, my friend.
That's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe them. Say, hey, little boy, you can't go where the others go. 'Cause you don't look like they do. Hey, old man, how can you stand to think that way? About it, did you make the rules that sent you? That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe it. A little more, but it only goes so far, because the law don't change another's mind when all they see is the higher in time, is the light on the color bar. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe it. Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize pens, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will lay the win, for the times they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your railroad is rapidly aging. Please get out the new one if you can lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. Line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing. For the times, they are a-changing. For the times, they are a-changing. For the times, they are a-changing.
Let's listen to some selected portions of Scripture during our experience this afternoon. From Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 4, this is the Word of God. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. From Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and grow weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Amen.
Well, I'm sure all of you knew Uncle Bob, as I call him, to be a very honest man, and tell you exactly what he was thinking. And it always came to me when I was playing piano for him. We have much different styles of playing. Uncle Bob was very technical and nuanced and exact, and I am totally opposite. So Uncle Bob, put your earplugs in a little bit and listen to the kids. Amazing Grace.
That was wonderful. Thank you, grandchildren. I know Bobby enjoyed that. Some of us would like to share some remembrances that they have prepared, and I'd like to invite them to come up to the microphone as you are ready to offer your words of memory as you remember Bobby's life. And then I'll invite some other ways for us to participate in this after these comments are offered. If you'd like to come up to the microphone.
All right, I guess I'll start this one off. When I first met Bobby, one thing always stuck out in my mind is he always had beer. And he was so generous because he'd always give you a beer, no matter whenever, wherever. You want a beer? You want a beer? So he always had beer out, and it stuck out. I said to my mom, all right, he'll do. He's all right. But he was so generous, he'd let you use whatever tools, whatever he had. And I'll share a story because he loved this story. And he let me use his boat one time. I had to get his permission from Kate. So we go down and get the boat, and we take it out, and we go by my brother's beach, and we're having a good old time. We go out to the wharf. And we come back, and I go to my brother's beach. I said, "Did you see us take out Bobby's boat?" And he said, "That wasn't Bobby's boat." So apparently we took out the wrong boat. But we got away for it. And yeah, it was an outboard. It wasn't an inboard, it was an outboard. So we should have known right then. But if it was his boat, he would have let me use it. So so I thank him for that. And he always loved that story. So and he was so generous with everything else. He has a great ski cabin that he'd always come let us stay at. And he would always have beer there. And give us those beers. And yeah, he was just a really generous, amazing guy. And the one thing always stuck out too is his family he always took care of, and especially my mother. He took really great care of my mom, and I can't thank him enough for that. And we're going to take care of you now, Mom. And I thank him so much for that. And he was an amazing guy. And he lived a good life, and it's very ironic. He always wore shirts that said life is good, and he lived a good life. And so, Bobby, you did it good, and you're right, life is good, and we're going to keep living it for you, and I know you lived a good one, too. I'm going to miss you, buddy.
Thank you.
If anybody does know who I am, I'm Bobby's new brother-in-law. This is going to be hard. We really look forward to coming down in the summertime. Every day was the same day. Bobby would get up before me, go to the pier, have his coffee. I'd wait, and he never waited for me. And I was so mad at him for not waiting. But I got over that, and we'd go golfing. Maybe have a few beers, just a few. I promise, just a few. Then we'd go to the beach, because by then Joanne and Mary Jane had woken up finally. It was like 11 o'clock by then. But I never understood the beers in the garage. Is that a Cape May thing? I mean, we have beers outdoors or indoors, but not in the garage. But I never understood. I'll have to talk to you two guys later on about that. Bobby came down to Myrtle Beach first time. He didn't know any of my friends, none. And I believe it was Nathan or even Damien who mentioned it. Once you met Bobby, you were his friend. Well, he was our friend before 4 a.m. in the morning that day. And he had driven down by himself, but I guess he just figured he had to stay up for a while. But the one story I want to tell was we were all playing cards down in Myrtle Beach one year. We were playing euchre. If you're not familiar with euchre, it's a game Bobby's very familiar with. And it's a partner's game. And a couple of guys had never played it before, so we were trying to teach them. But Bobby wasn't playing. He was not playing in this game. So he went over and tried to help the first guy. And then it went around to the next guy. And he went around and he helped that guy. Then he went around to the third guy. And then finally it was my turn. I said, "Bobby, you can't keep helping all three people. You're seeing all their cards." And he goes, "I'm helping them, Bill. I'm helping them." I said, You're helping him too much, Bob. You're helping him too much. But in closing, I was reading an obituary coming down here yesterday, and I have to tell you, I found a mistake. Because it mentioned that Bob's new brother-in-law, Bill, I've been his brother-in-law for a long time. Long time. I'm going to miss him.
Glad that I could see Pap when he was still making jokes and telling stories. One of the things that I remember is when Pap came over the one time, and he was looking at my motorcycle, and he accidentally hit the throttle, and he did a complete roll, and he didn't even spill a tiny bit of his drink. I also remember the time when he came up bear hunting with us, and I asked him what kind of a gun he likes to shoot, and he said he likes to shoot one with no sights. And I said that must take a lot of skill, and he has the skill because his eyes were good, and he made everybody's eyes good. I enjoyed all the boat rides that Pap took us on, and even when he couldn't take us, he would have someone like Pat take us, like last year. Pap was always there for us. He always came to the beach. He would sit and watch us when we were in the water, and even when we're finding shark teeth. Even though he is not here with us now, he is still looking out for all of us. We're going to miss Pap, but he is still with us and protecting us.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
I was at Pap's last weekend, and it brought back many memories, like when Pap used to take us in the boat and sometimes let us drive around. I went to Elk for the first time last winter, and he was there talking with us and laughing with us. He also taught me some notes on the piano. I learned how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. He used to come to the beach every day. We were there. He still told us his good jokes. He said, "You know, you get a better picture when you're looking at the TV." We said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "I'm unsure."
Tell him what that is.
Those are the drinks he was drinking at the end.
I will always miss him. At least he will be peaceful and happy, and he will always be in my heart.
He was a father that made sweeping up a workshop with a push broom look fun, mowing the grass look like a vacation, and blowing out the lights and tucking us into bed seem like part of a dream. From skiing up at Elk to trips to Vermont, he made our lives a giant vacation. From running aground on the boat to splashing through the rips, he only ever wanted the people around him to have fun. He was hardworking, kind, humorous, humble, and courageous. I was sitting at a new spot in Cape May writing this, but no matter where we were, he'd always show up unannounced and find us. Breakfast at the Cove, Wawa hoagies for lunch on the beach, dinner at Oyster Bay, drinks at Cabanas. He'd show up like our best friend, but watch over us as our father. His grandkids referred to him as Pap and were by his side as he smiled and cracked a few last jokes. Then Katie and I were blessed to just sit with him, hold his hands, and soak in his scent. We were sitting at his house the weekend before he got really bad, and we saw an eagle fly over the house, and it led us to where he's going to be buried today.
My name's Al Matz. Bob and I were friends for 45 years. We met in optometry school, became roommates, studied together. I was the city boy, he was the country boy. Introduced me to Higgins, to the Valley, and we were partners. We became partners in optometry. Together, we built our practice into five offices, five practices, five doctors. It was fun. We built it up. Coming to a new area in the country as a city boy, he introduced me to a lot of new friends, to hunting, golfing, and, of course, skiing. There was R&R Ski Cabin, Elk Mountain, 35 years of our annual stag ski trip. A lot of friends, a lot of people came along over the years. It grew, it shrank. In our practice, we didn't work Saturdays. We wanted to have more family time. So, of course, we had to work evening hours, which led to Tuesday nights was a late night at the office. So we'd meet afterwards at my office, which was only 7 miles away from his, and we'd have our late night Tuesday get-together. We'd do books, do banking. Drink a few beers, and of course, if you knew Bobby, it was more than a few beers. The secretary knew to have the refrigerator stocked. Tuesdays during the summer were we'd get together, but in winter we'd get together Tuesday night. We'd meet behind his office, and we'd drive up to Elk Mountain, usually with Stu and whoever else was going up. We'd meet there, Herm, and we'd head up the road to the mountain. We'd ski all day. 30 years of Tuesday nights and Wednesdays. Wednesdays was our day off, so a lot of years of having fun. And Bob knew how to have fun. Bob was a life well lived. He enjoyed life as he lived it. As Stu says, it's not a race, it's an adventure. And with Bob, it was always an adventure. I feel I was blessed knowing Bob, and it's been a long, lifelong friendship, both professionally and personally, and he'll be well missed.
Would someone else like to come up and share some special memories? Thank you.
I wasn't ready, but Bob was a friend, an irreplaceable friend. He added years to my life by explaining to me that it's not a good idea to work on Wednesdays. So you figure in 35 or 40 years how many Wednesdays that turned out to be. Of course, it was negated by the alcohol. I don't have my memory. But Bob was there. He lived his life. And I guess that's all we can all do. But he shared that life. And I'm glad he shared it with me.
I've known Bob and Joanne for a long time from the jazz festival where they used to come and see me perform. We got to be friends, and we looked forward to seeing each other every 6 months. And long before I knew Nathan or Damien, who Nathan and I, we performed together, and I knew Bob and his mother. And I'd like to say that Bob really gave Sherry and I a lot of hope when we asked him about our son, who at first they thought he had Stargardt's, which would have meant he'd been blind by the time he was 24. And he was then at a National Institute of Health. And he said, take him to Shea. And I took him to Shea Eye Institute, and the doctor there said he does not have Stargardt's, that he has macular degeneration. It's not going to come on until much later in life, and for him to go out and do well and carry on with his life, and maybe by that time there'll be a cure. And Bob also told us that the drusing behind the eye could stop, and he may not get any worse, which gave us hope and told us to get him special vitamins for his eyes. Also, at the last party back around Christmas time, we got to perform together and we played all night and we had a great time.
Hi, I'm Karen. I've been friends with Joanne first and then Bobby thereafter, so it's been quite a while. And I just want to say how honored and privileged I am that I was able to meet the family from both sides, wonderful people. And I have a story that Bobby doesn't like. So he took us out on the boat. We were pulled up to the schooner, right? And I got back in the boat, and Bobby had his golf bag cooler. You know, Bobby and his coolers. And it was full of melted ice. And I thought, oh, I'm going to help out. I'm going to dump this ice water over the side of the boat. And I heard ploop, and it was his cell phone. And I just sat there with the cooler, looking at my daughter and at the other people on the boat, and they're like, what, what? And I started to cry. And I had to tell Bobby that I dropped his cell phone in the water. I have never seen Bobby so mad in my life. You were afraid too. We all just sat there, me crying. But anyway, I'm just honored and privileged that I got to know Bobby and you, my sister.
I'll say something from here. I think I speak for my sisters. Bobby was the quintessential uncle. And we were always really excited when he would show up, and it was usually like 11 at night. And he was pretty tuned up by that point. And one of my earliest memories about Uncle Bob is, and I didn't sleep well as a kid to begin with, but it must have been around Halloween, and he came up into my bedroom with a Halloween mask on and a butter knife. And I haven't slept well since. I mean, it was terrifying. And that's kind of the relationship we had for a long time. And he was always, and sometimes I just didn't get his humor. And he was always after me like that. But he was a great uncle. You probably don't know this. He didn't look like much of a cowboy, but we were in the horse business a little bit together. He bought a horse and kept it over at our place, and he built the most beautiful stalls and a tack room in my mom and dad's barn for us to enjoy. And he took me to Elk Mountain, which I was always grateful for. Took me to Cape May. It's probably my favorite place on the planet because of him and my grandparents, of course. And I always admired everything about him. I admired his ability as a businessman and how successful he was. I admired that he was a doctor. His woodworking ability, his skill as a musician. And I just admired so much about him. And everything he did really, really well. And Joanne and I were talking about it. It seemed effortless for him. He always looked comfortable in his own skin. And that's what I always recognized about him. And I took note of that. He was just comfortable being who he was. And he really never asserted himself on people. But I think he had a huge impact. And those are things about him. You know, there's things today that I love because of Bobby. The music I love, it's a great deal because of him. I mean, why would a guy my age love Cab Calloway? It's inconceivable, but I do, and it's because of him. So in a lot of ways, maybe it's because I have this gray tuft of hair here the way he did. I just wanted to be like him a lot as a kid and as an adult. Gonna miss him.
Thank you, Randy.
Right now, I'm learning how to drive, and I'm not very good, according to that woman right over there. But one day, after a rehearsal for drama, Pat picked me up in his car, and he got in the passenger side, and I said, "What are you doing? I'm not going to drive with you." And he goes, "Yes, you are. We're not leaving." So I got in his Pilot, sat there, and I go, "Well, I don't even know how to put it in drive." And he goes, "Well, it's not hard." And he goes, "Push that button and pull it, put it into drive." So I did, and he wanted to go visit Janelle at Nana's house, which is now. Janelle was there. Presley, which I was looking forward to seeing, was not there. And I said, he goes, "I have this driving app." And he said, "Oh, just leave it on. It'll just be a couple minutes." Well, I left it on. We were there for around 40 minutes, I would say. And we went to leave. And I went to pull out to reverse. And I go, "I can't do it. I don't know how to do it." And he goes, "Well, if you don't know how to do this, you can't drive a car." But I remember one night sitting at our counter with him. I don't know where everyone else was, not really sure. And he just started talking to me randomly about what I wanted to be when I was older. And I said, "Well, I don't know. There's this, and there's this." And he goes, "Well, you know, you can just do whatever you want." And I said, "It's not that easy. There's a lot of things to think about." And he goes, "Well, if you think really hard and you try really hard, you're going to be able to do it." So I'm really thinking that if I do that with driving, might get a little better. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
It's great, Natalie.
Anyone else like to share a word?
Well, one time, he was over at my house, and I was getting on his nerves. So, like he is, he was like, "Don't do that or I'll come after you." So he came after me, and I grabbed the hose, and I sprayed him. That's all what I gotta say.
Yes. Good memory. Excellent memory. Those are wonderful remembrances. Thank you, each one who came to share. I bet there are other thoughts that each of you have at this time. Why don't we, just from wherever you're seated, just speak up so everyone can hear your word. Why don't we offer just the first word that comes to mind as you think about Bobby, Pap, whatever comes to mind. You could even repeat a word that gets spoken before you. Just whatever word comes to mind.
Hollow leg.
Excellent.
Friend.
Friend?
Fun. Music.
Fun. Music. Yes.
Adventurous.
Adventurous.
Helpful.
And what was that?
Very helpful.
Ah, helpful. Good.
Devoted.
Devoted.
Kind.
Kind.
Fun.
Precise.
Precise.
Talented.
Talented. Good.
Recycling.
What is that?
Recycling.
Recycling? It's probably a story there.
Generous.
Generous.
Tap dancing.
Tap dancing.
Yeah. I was a tap dancer.
Horseshoes. Golf.
Golf.
I think I've changed my mind.
Okay.
Listening to everybody, it's amazing how he was good at so many things. I was saying to Jason the other day, because he knows this and I know that, and we kind of compliment each other, and I said it's amazing how Dad knew everything about everything. And he had a trick to everything, always. This is the secret. This is the trick to this. You got to have the right tool for this. And I'll never forget when we left the other weekend, and we thought it would be the last time we would see him. And it turned out to be the last time he spoke to us. He gave us a pat like he always would, like Nan and Pap would too, and he said, "I'll see you." And it was the perfect ending and a little trick on his way out of what he said to us. And he just always did everything right, I feel, for everyone as much as he could. And that was his final little trick. I feel like the great going out words, "I'll see you," he said as he gave everyone a pat.
Thank you. Any other words to offer? All right, well, please join with me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for these memories. We thank you for the images and the sounds, the feelings, the places, the activities. We thank you for the way people have learned and laughed and loved. We thank you for every person whose life has been touched by Bobby. We thank you for the way that he has, in his generosity and in his presence, inspired this family, this community, to be generous and loving as well. Thank you that you know the needs that are represented around this room today. We ask that you would give comfort and peace as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand, those who are able, stand and sing in the blue hymnal number 341. Randy will be accompanying us. Blessed Assurance. Please be seated. The Word of God from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Gospel from John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going there on purpose to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, so that wherever I am, you also will be. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how could we possibly know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me." Amen.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Thank you, Randy. Let's hear some more scripture lessons. Readings for today from Isaiah 64. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are the potter, and we all are the work of your hands." And from Ephesians chapter 2. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. For we all are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe. universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Music is amazing. Music is just one of those things that everyone can enjoy. Maybe you, like me, have a family member that doesn't really like music so much. You know, it's a thing in the ear. It's sort of like the kind of vision issues sometimes that people have that Bobby was very good at correcting. Well, in music, similarly, sometimes we just can't hear certain frequencies. You know, back in the day, you know, I listened to some music, in a van with recording equipment inside it as we traveled around and recorded our music as we performed. And my mom told me, the music is too loud. You're going to go deaf. And ironically, I didn't hear her. Well, I hear her now. Bobby saw things. He heard things. He understood things. And he loved music. God loves music. Listen to Psalm 98. Sing to God a brand new song. He's made a world of wonders. He rolled up his sleeves and God has set all things right. Shout your praises to God, everybody. Let loose and sing. Strike up the band. Let ocean breakers call out encore. And mountains harmonize the finale. I think Bobby would have understood that verse. Songs, letting loose, singing, striking up the band, ocean breakers, encore, mountains. There is something to that shirt he liked, Life is Good. It may have just resonated with him, but it also is something as an affirmation that actually has a power to pull you forward into it. Have you ever met somebody who's always grumpy? We love them. But boy, we just wish they weren't grumpy. All of us go through different moods, with different experiences. We feel sadness. Sometimes we're all grumpy. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're mad. Sometimes we experience trauma, pain. We seek the assistance of doctors to help us with our vision, with our hearing, with our heart. God understands these things because we all don't listen at the same frequency, see things with the same spectrum. We don't always experience the same kinds of things at the same altitude. And yet God understands where we are in each of those different domains, whatever frequency we're on at the moment, whatever spectrum we're enjoying and visualizing at the moment, whatever altitude we may feel in our spirit or physically on a mountain or high like an eagle over our campus. We may see those eagles today. Their nest is just above where Bobby's remains will be laid to rest. That God understands where we are today. And here's the good news. God is the singer. And we are the song. God has spoken and we respond. God has set a melody and our feet start tapping. God has spoken and our mind starts turning. God has shown us things and our eyes, they just pop out with excitement. Because wherever we are, our mood or experience, trauma, pain, joy, excitement, wherever we are, at any time we are, God is there and can tune into us because God has made us. Our Creator knows us better than we know ourselves. Jesus was a rabble-rouser. He liked to strike up the band. He liked to let loose. Jesus, he knew that life was good. But he knew that good wasn't good enough and that life could be great. And Jesus called that the abundant life. And it's a life that he made the way possible. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, where he was betrayed by friends and died on a cross for our sins and later buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven, available to us all, everyone, no matter where we are, language we speak, wherever we were born, whatever we do, whatever frequency we're at. But on his way into Jerusalem, that week he died, Everybody was excited. Everyone was singing songs. There was quite an uproar. And you know, some of those religious folks, do you know any of them? We love them too. That when he went into town, everybody started singing. And this is what Luke, who was also a doctor, who wrote the story about Jesus in the book that bears his name. Well, Dr. Luke said this. Some Pharisees, those are the religious folks, some Pharisees from the crowd told Jesus, "Teacher, get your disciples under control, quiet them down." But Jesus said, "If they keep quiet, the stones will do it for them, and they will start to sing, shouting praises." I've never seen a stone sing, but I believe Jesus. I believe that when we just want to pipe things down and settle things up and get things under control, that somehow God breaks through, and whatever it is we need, God just finds a way. Life is good. Life could be great. And Jesus has promised us that kind of life. I think Bobby knew about that kind of life. The stones themselves will sing. I think Bobby, though I'd never had the pleasure of knowing him, he's a neighbor right around the corner here. I think Bobby understood that life is music, that life is joy, that life is love, that life is meant to be good. And we celebrate that life today. But I think Bobby is most excited about is that the way that he touched the lives that I'm looking at right now and beyond, that somehow Bobby would want that for all of us. And I know that Jesus wants that for you too. The one who said, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I am the life, I am the singer, and you are the song. Let's make music together." Let us pray. Would you just take a deep breath? Enjoy the silence. Recognize that God's present with us today. And the great news is that God does not stay in this room, but goes with you wherever you go. Lord, thank you that you've promised to sing for us, that we might sing with you your song. Amen. So let's sing a song. I invite those who are able to stand. Let's sing in the red hymnal this time, number 223, "It Is Well With My Soul," and Randy will accompany us.
Go ahead. Just say a couple words about this song.
Let's say I appointed a congregational hymn leader here.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, the song that we're doing here is one of my favorites. I always really loved this song, and once I really found out the story behind this song, it made it so much more special. And if you ever do want to do a little bit of research, do some research on Horatio Spafford and find out the story behind this song. It'll touch you. Sing along, like a river attendant my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, no trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. The last verse. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my
Thank you, Lord, for placing us on this planet for such a time as this. Thank you for tuning in to Bobby, for making him a blessing to so many. Thank you for the song of his life and the joy that he brought as others joined in. And Lord, we thank you that as a chorus now we continue to sing of Bobby's life, the ways that he touched everyone. And as we remember that you have made a way where there was no way, and released us from things that hold us back so that we might soar again like eagles, so that when we walk, we will not grow weary, and when we run, we will not be faint. And now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, be assured of God's presence, his peace, his power, to bless you and to keep you now and forever as you enjoy his music. Amen. You may be seated.
As this concludes the services here at the church, we'll be taking Bobby across the cemetery where we're going to have a brief committal service. We'll be going over in a slow procession. So at this time, we are going to have you exit the church and pass to your cars. The gentlemen are going to help with the casket if you gather near the rear doors of the church. You may exit the church at this time, please. Thank you.
say Joanne.